Continuing with our look at the inscriptions on the doors of Jahannam, let's today look at the second door of Jahannam. And here the inscriptions say, "Man arada an la yakuna uryanan yawm al-qiyamah falyaqisil julud al-ariya fi ad-dunya." One who doesn't wish to be exposed on the day of Qiyamah should provide clothing to those who don't have any in the world. "Man arada an la yakuna atshanan yawm al-qiyamah falyasiq al-atasha fi ad-dunya." One who does not wish to be thirsty on the day of Qiyamah should quench the thirsty in the world. And finally, "Man arada an la yakuna yawm al-qiyamah ja'an falyut'im al-butun al-ja'iya fi ad-dunya." One who doesn't wish to be hungry on the day of Qiyamah should provide for the hungry in the world. We may think quite simple things. Well, let's first look at the one where we are to provide clothing to those who don't have any in the world. And it just doesn't mean that we sort of relieve our obligation by going through our wardrobe and removing everything that is unwanted to deliver to the nearest charity organization. But it means assisting to clothe other human beings in the world by, one, not being wasteful. Most of us who live in the Western world have far more clothes than we ever need. Sort of, our wardrobes are dictated by fashion trends and whims. It is recommended. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has asked us to dress cleanly and smartly. But wastefulness is condemned. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, for example, that neat dress clears off worries and grief from the heart of a human being. So it's not that we're supposed to dress shabbily. But in the Quran, Allah says, "In Allah la yuhibbu al-musrifin," He does not like the musrifin. And if for a moment we pondered how much we could lift others economically by maybe just saving a little, not buying that one extra shirt or coat or dress, then really it makes a difference in whether we enter the door of Jannah or the door of Jahannam. If you put it into perspective, then if you want to educate, feed, clothe, and provide shelter to a family in a third world country, it costs no more than about £7.50 a month. And I remember when I put that figure to my children, they did make a point of trying to save a little bit out of their pocket money, because it makes a major difference. It makes a difference whether I go through the door of Jannah or the door of Jahannam. It's also important that we are aware of the needs of others in the world. Sometimes, cocooned in our cozy world, it's really hard to imagine what it feels like to live in the outdoors with very little clothing for protection. You know, the needs of others, even when they're portrayed on the media, somehow seems a million miles away from home. And that's because we are accustomed to the world of make-believe. It is wajib on us to investigate and find out the conditions of other Muslims in the world and literally strive to assist them in whatever way possible. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "One who wakes up in the morning and doesn't show concern for other Muslims is not one of us." He's also said, "Allah has said that the poor are my dependents and the rich are my agents. If my agents do not give my dependents their due, I will put them into Jahannam and I shall not care for them." The second inscription was talking about thirst. You know, the availability of clean, fresh water is really vital for healthy human life. And we're told that if you want to be healthy, it's recommended to drink anything between 6 to 8 glasses of water a day. Even those human beings who are classified as brain dead, they perceive thirst too. If you read some medical research that was carried out by a certain Dr. Peter McCullough, he says the sensation of thirst can be demonstrated to persist despite very severe damage to the brain. Now, so water is a human being's basic right, and Allah has provided unlimited amount of fresh water. But if you were to look around you, then there are billions of people on the earth who don't have the water they need, often because the local water is either the supply is polluted, or because in most countries water is regarded as the property of the government and it's public officials who decide who gets it and at what price and how it is used. And maybe another factor is the wastage of water in developed countries. We've got to understand what water is. You know, incidents in Islamic history demonstrate the basic right to water for all human beings. For example, when Imam Ali alayhi salam led his army to Syria, to the land of Siffin, Muawiyah and his army had already occupied the bank of the Euphrates. Imam was forced to camp away from the water. Now Muawiyah wished to prevail against Imam, so he used the weapon of thirst. Imam sent a message to him, telling him that he didn't come to fight for water, but to uphold the truth and bring the Muslims together after the leaders of falsehood had divided them. Muawiyah didn't heed Imam's request, and a battle had to be waged for the water. Imam succeeded in occupying the bank of the Euphrates and driving Muawiyah's army away from the river. Now the situation was reversed, and the men in Imam's army said, "Now prevent them from water as they prevented us." And Imam said, "Allah has given you victory against them because of their injustice and aggression. The issue is more important than depriving them of water." And he sent a message to Muawiyah saying, "We shall not treat you as you treated us. Come to the water. We are equal." Water is important, and it's important to understand its value. Now, basically, how can we help to conserve and protect valuable drinking water for generations to come? Otherwise, we will be answerable. It's just simple things. Avoid running water in the sink, when brushing your teeth, when doing wudu, when washing up. We're told that a closed tap while you brush your teeth can save 5 gallons of water a minute. Take shorter showers. Do full loads of clothes and dishes in their respective washers. Fix leaks. Wash cars with a bucket rather than a running hose. Every little bit helps. And if you do it with the niyyah that you know it's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates those who do asraf, and that we are answerable for wastage on the day of Qiyamah, see the difference it'll make in your life. The difference between two doors, one leading to the fire and one leading to Jannah. And finally, the last inscription on this door says, "One who doesn't wish to be hungry on the day of Qiyamah should provide for the hungry in the world." Now, I know we know all this, but Quran says, "Innaf atil thikra." Sometimes reminders are a benefit. Now, the world food supply is defined as sort of the ratio of food produced to the world population. Now, other factors determine the extent of hunger and malnutrition in the world. That's food demand, food distribution, availability, wastage, and abuse of the environment. But the persistence of hunger in a world of plenty is a responsibility that you and I have to answer for too. If we look at statistics, they tell us that of the 5 billion human beings that live on the earth, 1 billion are desperately poor and face food insecurity. If we look at statistics, we're told every day 35,000 children under the age of 5 die of malnutrition. And I'll repeat that, every day. Millions become blind, they get retarded, they suffer other disabilities because they lack the necessary vitamins and minerals. And it is hunger which increases the pressure that leads to refugees or migrants or political turmoil and even armed conflict. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yet told us that all Muslims are like part of one body. When one part is in pain, the other part rushes to its aid. And he says he or she is not a Muslim who eats to his fill whilst his neighbor goes hungry. And it's not like an unachievable goal. If all of us have a strong commitment not to enter the door of Jahannam, then we can end world hunger. The abuse of the environment is another thing. We have a wonderful thing in this country which stresses now on recycling. And because we mismanage our environment, we reduce the productivity of our land. You see, because maximizing profits is really the goal of modern, even agricultural practices, then it's not until recently that we realized that natural resources are being depleted and harmed. Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam has said that the human being should lead his life in such a way that he should not pollute the environment, because if he does this, there will come a day when it will be difficult and perhaps impossible for human beings to survive on the earth on account of pollution. You know, as rich people or in living in a rich land, we exploit the poor. It is so important to understand that we are all answerable, and we have to find out the origins of things that we wear and eat and how those producing it have been exploited. And finally, not to waste. In Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 32, Allah says, "Qulu washrabu wa la tusrifu innahu la yuhibbul musrifin." Eat and drink, but don't be wasteful. Allah does not love those who are wasteful. Inshallah, we will look at the third door, or the inscriptions on the third door of Jahannam tomorrow.